Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. We've got a great show for you today. Going to get to a few mailbag questions. Doing it a little early this week, but I've had so many questions from you guys that I think we're going to be able to break this up into two parts. Today, I'll talk about trade scenarios in the draft, what other options the Warriors had in that D'Angelo Russell deal, and then some options that they could have with that second round pick. Let's do it.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Our first question comes from MLE, who writes in, if Golden State takes James Wiseman, what's your take on their situation then? At center, do they still need to add another in free agency? Where does that leave Chris in the rotation? Wiseman's talent aside, Plumlee plus Chris plus Looney is a much cleaner Warriors-Z rotation. This is sort of the argument that I've been making all along. It's not that I'm anti-James Wiseman. There are definitely parts of his game that concern me, right? The lack of passing ability and vision, the fact that he does tend to force shots, the fact that he can struggle to post up at times, and that the fundamentals on defense need some serious work. That said, there are things about Wiseman's game, potentially, that make him maybe the best prospect in this draft, that, you know, he's very fluid with his hips. There's potential, you could see it, for him to switch on the perimeter. The shot looks good, it just doesn't go in all the time. And he's a freak athlete who runs the floor really well and finishes above the rim and might be the fastest center in the league and maybe the fastest guy at his size. I don't know that there's a guy outside of Giannis who has that combination of size and speed. But it's a lot of potential, and it's going to take a lot of work to get that out of him, right? He could be anywhere from Anthony Davis Light to Hassan Whiteside. And that, to me, is a pretty wide range of outcomes. And so, to me, it's always been an opportunity cost. Do you want to go ahead and try to get your center of the future, or do you want to go out and find somebody who plays a perimeter position, somewhere on the wing, who could be a little bit more versatile for you, play a few different positions, handle the ball a little bit, still provide some athleticism and all those things? And that's why I like Anthony Edwards for the Warriors at number two, if he's still there. But if they do take Wiseman, that's going to probably be the end of what they do at center. Not only because you're going to be paying him close to $10 million in that first season, right? And so you don't want to allocate too much money to that one position. You've already got Kevon Looney and Marquese Chriss there. That's three guys. And by the way, they might still be trying to develop Alan Smilagic, but those are three guys that you're going to have in your rotation. Not sure there's room for a fourth guy, as much as I like a Mason Plumlee or an Aaron Baines or something like, of that nature. I don't know that you have the minutes to allocate to all those guys. You still want to give enough minutes to Marquese Chriss, as well as James Wiseman, because you're going to have to develop those guys. And then Kevon Looney, if he's healthy, is going to deserve probably 15, 20 minutes per game. So I think that's where it ends. Now, if they don't take Wiseman, then yeah, I think they're going to add probably one more center this offseason. Mason Plumlee, to me, makes sense. Again, Aaron Baines. I think you're going to try to chase guys like Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka with the mid-level exception. But I think what they end up doing is just add one guy, whether it be in the draft or in free agency. Let's move on to our next question from Vince, who writes in, a bit of revisionist history, but could the Warriors have gotten a package of Robert Covington and others for D'Angelo Russell instead of Andrew Wiggins? I'm actually interested and excited to see how Wiggins can work with this core, but it definitely makes the Warriors less flexible if they try to move in a different direction. The Robert Covington name came up a lot in context of trading D'Angelo Russell. And my argument has always been, from the moment they acquired D'Angelo Russell, there was noise about them trying to move him for Robert Covington and some other pieces. You can't do that, okay? The Warriors took a step back as far as player in a vacuum. D'Angelo Russell is better in a vacuum than Andrew Wiggins is. However, Andrew Wiggins fits more and still has all-star potential. So you combine the fact that he fits better than Russell does with that all-star potential, that high-level talent, that raw talent, that the Warriors are going to try to tap into. And there is a world in which Andrew Wiggins ends up being better than D'Angelo Russell. There is a world in which Andrew Wiggins becomes a fringe all-star caliber player. Robert Covington was never going to be that. I like Robert Covington. He's not an all-star player. And he doesn't have the potential to be one. And so I think there's, I always call it this fish fetish, or this fit fetish. There's this fetish over fit in this league where you would take fit over just the clearly better player sometimes. And I'm not saying fit doesn't matter. The Warriors have proven that fit matters. But you're not going to take this dramatic step back to get this role player who quote-unquote fits. And by the way, Robert Covington doesn't really fit with the Warriors. I don't know why everybody thinks that Robert Covington fits what the Warriors want. He's not very switchable on defense. This idea that he's like the switchable defender. He can guard two positions, threes and fours. You can put him at the five, like Houston did, and he can hold his own. So maybe you could say three positions, two and a half. But he's not. He's routinely been taken advantage of when switched onto ball handlers, especially in the playoffs. He can hit threes well enough, but doesn't have a great playoff track record in doing so. But he can't handle the ball. He's not a great passer. And in Steve Kerr's motion offense, this ping, ping, ping offense where you're asking guys to attack closeouts, drive and kick and keep moving around, Covington doesn't fit that. Covington fits in the corner. You want him standing in the corner and waiting for the ball to come to him. That's not how the Warriors' offense operates. He's not great moving off the ball. He's not great moving with the ball. So I don't think Covington is a great fit, offensively or defensively. As far as what other options the Warriors had, it always made sense that he would end up going to Minnesota. And Andrew Wiggins does, I think, make sense for Golden State as far as that fit. The fact that they were able to turn D'Angelo Russell into Andrew Wiggins and an unprotected pick in 2021, I think was a win. I think Wiggins is going to fit. I'm not sure he ever reaches that all-star potential, but I think he's going to be better defensively than he was in Minnesota. I think he's going to be more efficient offensively. I think he's just going to be a nice fit. He's just going to be a guy who makes sense positionally. He's going to be able to play some four for you. He's strong even despite his size. You can play him at the four, Draymond at the five, and you still maintain some flexibility with your lineups in a way that you couldn't with D'Angelo Russell. I don't know how flexible Golden State is going forward. That Andrew Wiggins contract right now is still going to be really hard to move. And that might have been the only trade out there was D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins. Like, that might have been the only deal that existed for either one of those players. But that's going to be part of what the Warriors are doing. It's this reclamation project. He'll never be worth $27 million, Wiggins. But you might be able to get him a little bit closer to being worth that kind of money. You might be able to, in Golden State, turn Wiggins into an average asset, a neutral asset, where maybe some other team would be willing to take him in the future, or you could package him in that salary as part of a bigger deal in order to get your next superstar. That said, I don't know that the Warriors can plan on getting a superstar. Right, I don't think you make moves just to go get that superstar the way the Warriors are constructed right now. So I think if you're Golden State, worst case scenario is you move forward this next half decade with Steph, Clay, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, and whoever you end up getting with this number two pick. Got a question about some trade scenarios in the draft coming up, but first let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for two decades. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. For somebody like me who doesn't know the first thing about fixing cars, rockauto.com is perfect, but it's also perfect for people who know exactly what they're doing with cars because you know what you're looking for. You don't need a salesperson to tell you what you need. You already know, and for me, I don't want to get taken advantage of. for everybody from a novice to an expert. RockAuto.com is perfect for you. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then find their How Did You Hear About Us box when you check out, and then write Locked On so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. In tomorrow's Halloween-themed edition of the Mailbag, I'll talk about what the Warriors can do to match up with the Lakers next season. But let's get to this next question from Alan, who writes in, in your opinion, what are the two or three most likely trade scenarios involving the number two pick if the Warriors choose that path? I think the first most likely scenario is just one spot down with Charlotte. I know Kevin O'Connor in The Ringer, I talked about this on yesterday's pod, mocked that the Hornets would trade up to number one with Minnesota to leapfrog Golden State and grab James Wiseman. Now, if Minnesota does anything else, if they end up using that number one pick on LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards or Obi Toppin or something like that, and Wiseman is still sitting there at number two, I could see the Warriors potentially moving down and just swapping picks with the Hornets. There's enough smoke out there, true or not true, that the Warriors are into James Wiseman, that the Hornets probably believe they need to move up in order to get James Wiseman. And all the other rumors are that the Hornets covet James Wiseman. And so, you know, maybe that's something that makes sense for Golden State, depending on the price. I think the Warriors would be happy to pick somebody at number two. It's not a guarantee that they're going to trade down. There's been a lot of people talking about how, oh yeah, the Warriors are going to move down for role players or whatever. I never thought that that was the case. Everything that I've heard was that the Warriors would be very happy taking somebody at number two. That said, if the offer is good enough, they would be willing to trade down. I think they're open, right? Bob Myers, your job is to weigh all of your offers. And if Charlotte really wants Wiseman that bad, then maybe they would be willing to move to give up a lot only to move up one pick and make sure that they get Wiseman. So the Hornets, to me, make sense. If Wiseman is off the board, if the Warriors are not in love with Wiseman or Anthony Edwards or whatever, then I could see them trading all the way back to 7 or 8 with the New York Knicks or the Detroit Pistons. You know, it sounds like the Knicks and Pistons want LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball will probably be there at number two. Again, if the offer is good enough, I could see the Warriors moving back. Now, what would be an offer from the Knicks that would be good enough? Well, the Knicks have all those picks from Dallas coming over in the Kristaps Porzingis trade. They got a bunch of picks from the Clippers when they sent Marcus Morris over there, including another first rounder in this draft. I think that, and then of course they have their own picks. I could see the Warriors being willing to move that far back for, you know, obviously the eighth pick this year from New York, plus, you know, probably a couple of future first rounders, and maybe you can get a role player out of them. I don't think the Knicks would be willing to move off of Mitchell Robinson, but I think if you're the Warriors, you probably ask. But beyond that, do you like Julius Randle enough to use the trade exception on him? Do you want to go and get a Frank Ntilikina or Wayne Ellington, guys who I think maybe could fit off the bench for Golden State? It would be something like that, in addition to obviously some future picks that you can use in a trade down the line. And then the same thing really goes for the Pistons. Now, Detroit doesn't have a bunch of picks like New York has to move, but they have their own picks that they can use. You know, the seventh pick this year, a future first rounder, unprotected or lightly protected, could get the wheels moving, and then maybe they throw in a role player like a Luke Kennard, who hasn't exactly worked out for him, but I think there's things that the Warriors would like about his game. Good ball skills, obviously, a good three-point shooter, smart, high basketball IQ player. Or, you know, is there, you know, one of the crazy ideas that I heard was maybe a Blake Griffin trade, where you package Andrew Wiggins along with Blake and some other contracts to go get Blake Griffin. Now, I think that's too much, a little too outlandish, but you could be talking about anything from Blake Griffin to Luke Kennard. And swapping some picks there. But that to me would be the most obvious. I know there's been talk about Phoenix at number 10. I think that's too far for the Warriors to fall back to, even if they were able to get Kelly Oubre in exchange. I just don't know that Kelly Oubre fills enough needs for this team to move back all the way to 10, especially if you consider that Oubre will probably be coming off the bench for them. I just don't know that that's enough to give up the opportunity to draft one of these top two or three guys and move all the way down to 10, where you really don't know who's going to be there. Our next question comes from MJZ, who writes in, now that it's a possibility that they will take James Wiseman, if they do, how will they address the wing position? If they do take James Wiseman in this draft at number two, I think the Warriors are still going to have a major need on the perimeter. I think they need to go out and get probably two guys. And the obvious options would be the trade exception and the mid-level exception. But they'll also have some minimum contracts that they can use. I think there are several names that make sense with the TPE. I think you could be looking at guys like Rudy Gay, who I think would be a nice fit for Golden State, but on a one-year deal. The question is whether or not the Warriors really want to spend that kind of money right now, knowing that they're going to be paying a steep luxury tax bill and that they lost a lot of revenue. Joe Lacob told me that they lost about $50 million in revenue last season because of the canceled home games. So that's quite a bit, right? That's almost your entire luxury tax bill that you were planning on paying, that you no longer, like, you don't have that money anymore. And so, look, I think that Joe Lacob would be willing, is willing to spend if it's for the right player. The question is whether or not a guy like Rudy Gay is the right sort of player. Now, I think that the Warriors are probably two pieces away from being one of the best three teams in the Western Conference. I really do, behind the Clippers and the Lakers, obviously. I think that they're right there. I think that they need to nail this number two pick. I think that they, if they use the TPE, whether it's the full extent or part of it, on the right one or two players, that they're going to be right there in the mix. And I think that that's what they're going to have to do. I think even if they don't use the full $17.2 million, they could still use a portion of it, right? They can use $7 million of it. They can use $10, $12, $14 million of it. They can go get a good player who they otherwise couldn't get in free agency with the mid-level exception or something like that. Other guys that make, you know, Mo Harkless, you know, guys like that, maybe you throw some money at Danilo Gallinari, see if he'll sign for the mid-level. Take, you know, Gallinari recently said that he wants to contend, that he's not so much looking for money as much as he's looking for situation. That could work in the Warriors' favor. And then there's several other guys in the wing, but it's going to be through free agency or trade, or maybe both. All right. Let's move on. We have a question about some players that the Warriors could be targeting in the second round. We'll get to that next here on Locked On Warriors. If you haven't already done so, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors every day. MLE writes in, on Hollinger and Duncan, they discussed Brooklyn using the number 19 pick to dump Taurean Prince because they'll be buried in tax after retaining Joe Harris. What do you think of Golden State absorbing Prince and then Eurostashing a guy like Pukasevski, I never say that, at 19, or flipping the pick for something else? Taurean Prince is a nice player. I don't know that he's worth the trade exception. The Warriors could obviously take the 19 pick and Taurean Prince into cap space. It wouldn't be the worst thing, right? I think that there would be some potential there. Obviously, you gain another first-round pick, which would be nice. Going back to our last question, that would be a way, obviously, to address the wing position just in the draft. Like, you could take, let's say, James Wiseman at number 2 and then end up with Taurean Prince and then whoever you get at 19, whatever wing player there. And now you've addressed it. You still have the mid-level exception, veteran minimum contracts that you can hand out to continue to address that position. That would certainly be a way to do it. I just don't know that Taurean Prince is the kind of player you want. Kind of going back to what I said about Robin Covington, not a great ball mover, commits more turnovers than assists, not a great three-point shooter, not great creating for himself. There's a reason why Brooklyn would be trying to get off of that salary. I think, again, if you're Joe Lacob, you want to use the trade exception on somebody who is worth it, not on, you know, worth that kind of money, not on somebody who you are taking in a salary dump, even if it means getting a 19th pick in the draft. And by, like, the 19th pick in the draft sounds great. I just don't know that the 19th pick doesn't always pan out, right? The NBA draft is really a crapshoot. I don't know that you're going to get the guy who's going to crack your rotation and play meaningful minutes in the playoffs. I think if you're the Warriors, you would rather use the trade exception on somebody who could crack your playoff rotation. I don't know that Taurean Prince is even that sort of player, let alone the 19th pick in the draft. I think you'd rather go use a guy who is going to be your Andre Iguodala, who is going to be your sixth man, or Sean Livingston, your sixth or seventh guy. I don't know that Taurean Prince is that guy. And so I think you can allocate the resource a little bit better, and you still have the mid-level exception, things that you can use to address that position on the perimeter. Okay, our final question comes from David. Any information on players the Dubs are targeting at number 48 and number 51? The Warriors, I don't know that they're even going to use these second-round picks. Now, they could sell the second-round picks and try to recoup some of the money that they lost. I don't know how much of a market there's going to be in selling second-round picks because all teams lost money. or they can use it on draft and stash, or they could trade for future second round picks or whatever. So I'm not sure that they're going to use it just because there's already a number crunch on the roster. They have 13 guaranteed contracts. You assume that one of those, they're going to use a roster spot on the number two pick. They're going to use a roster spot on at least one free agent, TPE target, MLE target, veteran minimum, whatever. So there might not be any space for these second round picks to make the 15-man roster next year at all. That said, I've heard they like Peyton Pritchard out of Oregon, the three-point shooting, you know, guard. Could be a nice ball handler off the bench for you. Can obviously space the floor. They like his moxie. They like his competitiveness. That could be an option for them. And I think the obvious one there is Xavier Tillman, the center out of Michigan State. Great ball skills, great rebounder. Can, you know, flash some three-point shooting potential. But I think they like his ability to rebound, be in the right place defensively, and then obviously facilitate. He might be the best passing big in this draft. And so I think those guys would be on my board if I were the Warriors. They make a lot of sense for them if they go ahead and use that pick. But, of course, that is not a guarantee. That'll do it for today's show. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. Thanks to Rock Auto for sponsoring the episode. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning for our Halloween edition of the Mailbag.